small tables. Several were gathered about him. One could not see his face well in the half-darkness, but the reddish outline marked his place. Most of those about him were muchly in darkness. Some held cups of paga. The trenchers had been gathered in, and the kaisa boards had been folded and put away, the red and yellow pieces in two shallow drawers, fixed in the board, one on each side, one for each colour. This is not an unusual arrangement in taverns. Commonly, however, kaisa boards are simple, straight boards, and the pieces are kept separately in boxes or sacks. Members of the cast of players are recognised by their red and yellow checked robes, the worn board slung over their shoulder, the sack of pieces at their waist. Depending on the player, they will give you a game for as little as a task bit, as much as a golden tarn disc of R. It was said that Sentius of Kos had once played in Brundisium.
"If you have a story to tell for a drink," said the taverner, "why not tell it toward the upper city, against the outer walls, in a landward tavern, say the Diamond Collar?"
The stranger was silent. Then he said, "I want paga."
"I will tell you," said the taverner. "You were ejected elsewhere, thrown into the streets and stumbled downward, bewildered, blindly, mad, knowing nothing else, stumbling from door to door until you would reach the piers. And then Tharsa, dark, cold Tharsa," said a man.
"Paga," said the stranger.
"Do you beg?" inquired the taverner.
"No," said the stranger.
And the taverner, alarmed, sensing danger, stepped a bit back, but recovered himself almost immediately. The stranger was a large, spare man, with roughened hands, perhaps hardened from the oar or from hauling on lines. He was clad in little more than rags. He did have a dirty mariner's cap. I did not think it unlikely he had indeed ventured upon Tharsa. Those hands, I did not doubt, might close about a man's throat, might break a man's neck.
"I will pay," said the man.
"You have coins?"
inquired the taverner.
"No,"
said the man.
"Extinguish the lamps,"
said the taverner to his man, who stood behind him. The other tables were empty now, as their occupants had left or had gathered with us about the stranger's low table. The only lamp remaining lit then, of the hanging lamps, was the one in which we could see the outline of the stranger's face. A bowl lamp did glow at the serving table, near the kitchen gate, near the paga vat, near the goblets.
"I can pay," said the stranger.
"With what?"
inquired the taverner.
"I will tell you a story," said the stranger.
His eyes had a wild, feral look.
"We are closing," said the taverner.
Then, looking to his man, he gestured toward the stranger.
"Eject him," he said.
"Where will he go? What will he do?"
asked a fellow, a scribe from his robes, of shoddy, faded blue.
"Tharsa,"
said a man, I think a mercenary.
"Dark, cold, Tharsa."
"Perhaps,"
said a man.
"No,"
said the stranger.
"No."
"Come along, fellow,"
said the taverner's man.
"There is garbage outside in the sewer troughs."
He put his hand on the stranger's arm.
"Do not touch me,"
said the stranger, quietly, politely, rising unsteadily to his feet. His voice was courteous, almost gentlemanly. But the taverner's man did not mistake the tone of that voice, and removed his hand from the stranger's arm.
"It is time to go," said the taverner's man, gently.
"I will leave," said the stranger.
"I would hear his story,"
said a man.
"I will buy him paga," said another.
"No," said the stranger.
I had not realized how large he was until he stood.
"We are closing,"
called the taverner, suddenly, loudly, impatiently, for two figures, cloaked, hooded, stood at the portal, now within. They had entered silently. None of us had noticed them, lest it was the stranger. I think he had noticed.
"So," said the stranger to the two newcomers, "you have found